Somebody get the phone.
The Big Whale Nuts Garage.
See, there are the sheep, and cue the cow. Hello, everyone. This is the co-host emeritus of the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. I am the Laughing Buddha. And rounding the bend, fresh from the burn unit, is our very own Faye Driver. Hey, Faye, how are the little tootsies, the little fingers doing these days?
My sausage fingers, you mean?
Yes, your sausage fingers.
My sausage fingers are good. Mark is alluding to the fact that I was driving around in a BMW X1 with the steering wheel heat on, and I couldn't turn off the bloody heat on the steering wheel, so my little digits were getting hot.
Well, you know, you do have the lily white hands of a salesman.
Say, well, I'll take, I don't know, what the, is that a compliment or what?
Yes.
And where exactly have you seen my hands? Did you find those videos on YouTube?
Well, you know, when you do as much research as I do on the internet, you'd be surprised the things that one could find.
Well, folks, thank you for joining us here on the Pride48Live.com. I am the Faye Driver, and this is the Pink Wheel Nuts Podcast, the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. Thank you for joining us. If you're listening in to us live right now on Pride48.com, you'll see there's me. I've got a couple of guests to introduce to you in a minute here. And you've already heard from the best wingman on the internet. That's the Laughing Buddha. Hi, Laughing Buddha.
Hello.
How are you doing this week? I know you've had a bit of a rough week, but our...
Well, actually, I'm really surprised. I'm in really good mood, and I come to the end of this week, and I actually have some energy left.
Oh, fantastic!
Yeah, it's a welcome change.
So let's introduce the couple of the other people who are here with us today. Now, you know, folks, the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage has elevated itself. We now have a whole crew in the background running things behind us here. There's interns. I have an engineer tonight for tonight's show. And so all the staff is here. But first of all, I want to introduce our guests tonight. And the first man of the hour is Eric from... Hello again, it's Brenda Boo. Hi, Eric.
Hello, how are you?
Now you're doing double duty. Do we have your full attention, or are you,
I am
punching
done out
widgets in the background there? Or what?
I am done. The radio station is now on autopilot, so I'm in the production studio right now.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for joining us tonight. We also have joining us tonight, all the way on the Western Seaboard, that Peter G. Hello, Peter.
Hello, Faye. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you tonight?
Good. I only have water at the moment, Faye.
Really? Oh, my God. Did you just walk in the door?
Well, I just woke up from a nap, and it's a little early still to start drinking.
You woke up from a nap?
Yes.
Oh, are you guys having a day off today?
No. Fridays I work half a day, so I went in at 6:30 this morning, and I was done by 11, and I went to the gym, and I pushed kettlebells around, and and then I had errands to run, and then I was just exhausted. So a nap it was, so that I could be fresh and bright and chipper for your little show.
You sound like one of those army guys. It sounds like you've done more today than I did in the whole week. And finally, the last guest tonight on the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage is none other than Brenda Boo. Good evening, Brenda.
Good evening. I'm back at the Boys Club. Yay! Thank you for having me.
You've busted down the walls once again.
Yes. Let me in, damn it.
Well, everybody, we're going to get rolling along here. We've got a couple of topics to go over tonight, which we'll introduce in a minute. But before we do that, Laughing Buddha, do you want to let us know who here is joining us on Pride 48 in the Pride 48 chat room?
Yes, in the Pride 48 chat room this evening, we have Gavin, who's joining us, along with Haunt Cub. There is a MIB in Canada. I have my suspicions of who that might be. Moose P has joined us, RT Cruiser, of course, and the infamous Toppy Smelly is also in the chat room along with us this evening.
Thanks, Mark. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome. Thanks for joining us here tonight. So now we're going to talk about tonight in the on the Pink Winlet's Garage a couple of things.
Breaking is good sometimes.
She should be breaking more often. Kathy Bacon brings up a question about RPMs, revolutions when she's in park. We're going to talk about surveys from your dealer about the service you've received. And Peter G has a great question about driving style versus wear and tear. And I didn't get much of a response. I kind of wanted to talk about the Apple podcasting app.
I have a whole rant about that.
Do you? Oh, fantastic. Okay, great. So we're going to talk about that as well. But before we do have the tradition of telling everybody what we're drinking tonight. So we'll go around the room. We know that Peter's drinking water. So yes. Skipping Peter. Thanks, Peter. Let's start with Brenda Boo. Darling, what are you having to drink today?
I have my adult-sized sippy cup, some Diet Coke.
What a shock there, right?
I feel like I should go to a meeting or something.
Exactly. Now, just a minute. What is this sippy cup? Is it some logo? Like, describe your cup, please.
It's just something you might get at a discount store that, or somebody who's exercising would use, or has a built-in straw, and the top collapses so that when I take my, I also have sausage fingers, and I knock it over, you know, spill it on the keyboard. So that's why I call it my adult size sippy cup, because that's what it looks like.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, okay. Thanks very much, Brenda. What about you, Eric? I guess if you're still at the office, you're probably not imbibing. No beer for you.
I'm not yet. Actually, my stolen adult-sized sippy cup of water is still at my office.
Is this an Iowa thing?
No, it's a Brenda thing, but when I left the house, I grabbed one, and she probably doesn't know about it, and I'm admitting to something that I'll have to bring.
Oh, no, now you're going to get in trouble.
Awesome. Oh, well. I left one at the gym, and she just came unglued.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, we were leaving.
There's always a chance of that about almost at anything, right?
Yeah, well, we were leaving together, and I looked at the guy behind the counter. I said, you have lost and found? And I said, they pulled out the water bottle, and Brenda, you went, hey. She was not happy.
Hmm.
Yeah, Gavin said it best, bad Mr. Boo. So, but I have a sippy cup of water in my office.
The drama that happens around sippy cups, my God. I got to get me one. I want to be involved in this.
You know, Faye, speaking of water bottles, I have a coworker that I've worked, she works near me for 9 years. She's never once washed that water bottle on her desk.
No. Oh, no. Oh, my God.
It's just vile. It really is.
Oh, that's stomach turning. Well, okay, let's go to Laughing Buddha. What have you got to drink tonight, Mark?
Well, I wash my water cup daily. It's part of good hygiene. This evening, I am drinking my usual Silver Bullet Martini, which, of course, is half vodka, half gin, with just a little bit of dry vermouth. And, of course, it's dirty.
Oh, yummy. And I am having a lemon drop martini, which is basically I'm having gin and vodka with a bunch of lemon fresh from a lemon squeezed into it, and it's actually quite delicious. Laughing Buddha, I have a question for you around martinis. When you build a new martini, do you go for a brand new fresh glass, or do you use the old one over again?
Oh, it's always a fresh glass. I have a confession. I keep a cocktail glass in my freezer at all times. Mm. So what happens is, and this is a very stylized ritual that I go through, I take out my olives and my cocktail onions along with my decanter of vodka and gin. I take out the dry vermouth from the refrigerator and my cocktail shaker. And this is the order of ingredients that happens, which is...
okay, folks, now this is a highly guarded secret.
That's right. You're all going to know my secret recipe, which is you take a little bit of olive juice and then some, just a splash of dry vermouth, 4 ice cubes, not 5, not 3, but 4 ice cubes. Mm-hmm. And then you take a jigger of vodka and a jigger of gin, and you put your cocktail shaker top on it, and then you shake the shit out of it. Right. So what you're doing is you're breaking up that ice, and you're getting these fine flakes of ice, and then you pour it in your fresh from the freezer cocktail glass, and then you put your skewer of olive, cocktail onion, olive, cocktail onion on the skewer, and you place it in the glass and enjoy.
So just to be clear, is that 2 onions and 2 olives?
2 onions and 2 olives alternating however you see fit.
Right, I see. All right. That is divine, Laughing Buddha. That sounds terrific.
It's delicious.
Okay, well, the rest of us will just drink our water while you sit back in that big armchair wearing your smoking jacket. And
well, Gavin says that I'm lacist because I said jigger. So we'll just let that lie there, right there, and not say anything about it.
Right, sure. Okay, well, let's say something about the first topic that comes up, and that comes to us from Kathy Bacon. Mark, did you find where I put the tweet in our notes?
Yeah, actually.
Kathy's tweet?
And I did, I fed the little link into Kathy Bacon's tweet, which said, "Why do I have RPMs in park, and are my RPMs normal?" And she also posted a little Instagram photo of her dashboard, which shows that her RPM gauge is a little bit over, would you say that's about 1,000 RPMs, Faye?
Yeah, it looks to me it's about 1,000, I think it's a little less than 1,000, maybe 800 or so. And I just posted that photo into the chat room if people want to look at it. And the answer to your question, Kathy Bacon, is the RPMs measure what's going on with the engine. And as soon as you turn on your car, when you start it up, the engine starts turning over and runs. And the RPMs indicate how many revolutions per minute that the engine is turning over. So yours is running around 800 RPMs, and that is perfectly normal for an automatic vehicle like yours to be running. So yes, your RPMs should be running in park. It just indicates to you that the engine is actually on and going along, right? Anybody have comments about that? Can everybody see the picture in...
I can't, but you're absolutely right. So,
Faye, would that be different if she was in neutral?
No. Well, it might be. If she's in neutral or park, it should run around 800 RPMs. That's what an idling engine runs at. Mm-hmm. And in park, it'll be about 800. If she goes down into drive or reverse, it may be a little less than that, maybe 600 or 700, but park and neutral should be about 800. Anything less than 1,000 is good.
So when I left my car on all day for 9 hours that time in the garage at work, it was like running at 800 RPM all that time.
That's right, yep. Just ticking away, burning up the fuel, and filling your garage with carbon monoxide.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, Faye, we had a situation where our car was revving too fast, and that was instrumental in it catching on fire, right?
I remember that story.
Yeah. Well, you also failed to mention, though, honey, that we had a high-pressure fuel line that had developed a leak, and when it finally popped, it threw out a whole tank's worth of engine onto, or a tank's worth of gas onto our engine. So that didn't help matters any.
No, but I mean, there was something wrong with the idle, and we kept having to punch it to get it go down, and that was one of the factors that made it go boom.
And then pop, and then flame, and then, do you want me to move your car?
Yes, I want you to move the car.
Sorry. Long story.
Okay. I hope there weren't any sippy cups involved.
Not this time.
Maybe.
All right, so thanks, Kathy Bacon, for your quick little tweet question, and I hope we answered it to your satisfaction. If not, send a letter to... No. Okay, so actually, now, Peter, Peter G., you had a question that you sent me a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
About things.
Do you want to go? Faye, I just imagined a scenario where you took the same kind of car, two of them, and gave one to one person and the other to a different person. And if you assumed that they had the normal maintenance during that year and that they drove the same approximate number of miles, if you came back a year, now the cars are each 1 year old, how would they differ mechanically speaking, just because of the different people driving them?
So, go ahead, Eric. Well,
my question when I got this was, Peter, when you say different driving styles, do you mean like one spends those miles, much of it in stop-and-go traffic, while the other one is, say, free and clear, doesn't do a whole lot of stop-and-go?
Right, possibly.
Yeah. Or do you mean like one person, over-accelerates off of at the green light, or, you know, is just hard on the car?
Right, like rides the brake or something, yeah. Because I'm accused of riding the brake, and which I don't do, but sometimes I brake with my left foot, and I just keep it hovering over the brake, and I know it's a bad habit.
How old are you, Peter?
I'm 50. Thank you, Brenda.
75. That's an old person thing to do.
Says
what do you mean it's an old person?
No, just a minute. Just hang on.
Sorry.
It's an old person.
Now, girls, you're both pretty.
Girls.
Hang on now, Brenda. I have to defend my friend, that Peter G. He's not saying he's stepping on the brake and having his brake lights on while he's driving down the street.
Right.
What he's saying is he's ready with his braking foot in case he needs to brake quickly. Is that correct, Peter?
Exactly. But I'm criticized for even using my left foot to brake. So I was just the obvious way I thought the cars would be different is in the brakes or the tires. But, you know, maybe you have more to add on that.
Well, I would be a little concerned using the left foot for the brake.
Yes, that's an old person thing to do. An old person has their right foot right on the gas, and then they have their left foot hovering above the brake, and then that's why people crash into crowds at fruit markets because they're like, I got confused. I hit the wrong foot.
You're a fruit market friend.
But you don't seem to have that problem, honey.
I don't. Oh, fuck off. I don't think that.
Please, this is a
oh my God,
PG it's a, show.
It's a family show.
Sorry, Faye.
In my experience, the person who is in, if they're going equal miles and one of the cars spends a lot of time in the stop and go traffic, you obviously that's an oil. You know, stop and go makes oil kind of go real quick. But I don't know. I mean, if they both did maintenance at the same time and they both were equal, I mean, Faye, what would you say?
Well, here's what. Okay, now let's just back up a minute. Brenda, just yes. You have to calm down because I don't think you you can blame Peter for driving around with his foot on the brake all the time.
That's what happens. That's
just okay. Brenda, let me speak. I support you, Peter, in putting your left foot on your brake, because I think that's a responsible way to drive, because you're ready, you're not putting on the brake with your foot. Am I correct?
You're right.
Ready. You have your left foot ready over the brake, and right. when and you need it, you use it when you need it, and when you don't need the brake, your foot is off the brake, correct?
Right.
But yeah. Your left foot, it's the left foot. If you instinctually, you will go for your right foot because you don't have a clutch, it's an automatic. So your first thing is you will go for your right foot. That's why when people get confused. If you were hovering over with your right foot, I'd be okay. It's the left foot that bothers me, Peter.
So
please don't put me off the call, Faye. I'll be quiet.
No.
Brenda seems to think I'm going to run into a fruit stand or something.
Yeah. Precisely.
Well, the Apple Store, Brenda, is that it? Going to run into the Apple Store?
Yeah, they sell Macintosh and Golden Delicious and Granny Smiths.
Let's not forget about the Gala apples.
Yeah.
Somebody who mentioned it, Archie Cruiser mentioned in the chat room that I am in a very hilly area. So, like, just to get to my house from the freeway, we have to go down like a 12% grade. So maybe that makes a difference of why I would be braking with one foot as opposed to the other one.
Yeah. Okay. Well, all right. Well, let me just say I have many things to say if I can have the floor. I support you in using your left foot to brake because it makes you ready at all times to brake in an emergency situation. What if somebody jumps out from behind a streetcar or something and you need to brake? So I brake with my left foot all the time. So good on you, Peter.
Okay.
Secondly, let's get to the discussing one car versus another car. Two separate people buy a car. One person may be a gentle driver, and one person may be an aggressive or an assertive driver. And I think definitely if you take two cars and have one driven by Granny and one driven by an 18-year-old kid, at the end of 1 year, you're going to see a significant difference in the wear and tear on the car. Grannies drive slowly, and they're not, accelerating quickly and stopping extremely fast. So they're not overusing their brakes. They're not stressing their engines, and they're getting better fuel economy. You know what I mean? So definitely, Peter, the way you drive a vehicle can affect the wear and tear on it. And this is all fairly obvious to us, I think, right? And Eric, you touched on this a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I think you will see a difference in vehicles. Now, are you concerned, Peter, that you're wearing something out, I don't see you as being an aggressive driver. Do you see yourself as being aggressive?
No, I don't think I'm an aggressive driver at all. In fact, when my husband is in the car and I'm driving, he's always like, go faster, get around this person. What's wrong with you? And it's like I have the temerity, if the exit is coming up off the freeway, to actually get into the right lane, like, a mile ahead,
right,
to be ready instead of veering off at the last minute like some people. But no, it was just more of an academic question about how the cars would be different. And the only thing that I could think of would be maybe the brakes or the tires or something like that.
Yeah, and those are the wearable items. When you're, when you accelerate quickly off from a stop, You're putting stress on the engine and the transmission, and you're making your tires work harder, and you're burning more fuel, right?
Right.
Then because you're driving faster up to the next light, you get up to the stoplight, and then you jam on the binders. So now you're having to decelerate all the energy that you've built up that you've wasted in fuel, and now you're braking hard, so your brakes are going to wear out quickly. Your rotors, which the brakes squeeze up against, they're going to wear out more quickly. They're going to get hot faster, and that can cause warping in the brakes if you're always starting and stopping. You're heating up the brakes and you're cooling them down. So those are the kinds of things that are going to wear out tires and brakes, brake pads primarily, brake rotors or brake drums as well. I think it would be really hard, and maybe we can discuss this around the panel. I think it would be really hard to see. I mean, I don't think accelerating quickly has any detrimental effects on the vehicle, except over an extremely long period of time. You might find a vehicle that's been driven aggressively and start-stop traffic wears out maybe within 7 years, as opposed to Granny's car, which would wear out in 10 years. But I don't think there's a significant difference to the wear to the vehicle other than those consumable parts. So let's discuss that a little bit. Laughing Buddha, do you have any comments on that?
Well, you know, George in Atlanta has joined us in the chat room this evening, and he says that he's an offensive driver. So I think it really has to do with how you treat the vehicle overall. You know, when I was beginning to drive, this was back, you know, in the late 70s, early 80s, and my father always taught me, you know, you don't want to pound on the gas. You don't want to really abuse the vehicle. You want to accelerate smoothly. If you have to do it quickly, certainly you want to do that. But I think it also comes down to maintenance as well. So if you're really taking care of your vehicle, performing the maintenance when you should, such as your oil changes and your transmission flushes, everything should be okay. I think it's more of a mindset. You know, modern cars today, I really think they can take a lot more quote-unquote abuse than some of the cars of, like, say, RT Cruiser might drive.
Right. The 1950s and 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Eric, any comments on wear and tear on vehicles?
Yeah, I'm still of the mindset that if you are doing more stop-and-go driving than just extended long periods, that things like being ever vigilant on oil and maintenance of fluids and filters, because you're going to go through you're going to have more difficulty in those situations, and that will of course lead to larger problems. So, but Laughing Buddha is okay. I mean, is right in that modern cars probably can take a little more stress than some of the older ones.
Mm-hmm. Brenda Boo, do you want to talk about this?
What?
Do you want to rebut the foot on the pedal situation here?
Let me present this argument.
Here we go.
Okay. Okay, how many Asians are gathered around the fruit stand? I just want to know that.
What?
Is it a tropical fruit market, or is it more of a Mediterranean fruit market?
Could be antique. It could be like
it's strictly a fruit watermelon market. And bananas.
It could be a flea market. It's any kind of outdoor market.
Is it Girl Scouts at a table selling cookies?
Oh, hit that bitches.
Yes, kill the
No. It's the hippies selling the lead jewelry, the rings and stuff like that.
Yes.
And the healing power.
Okay.
So go ahead. Go ahead, Brenda. You have the floor. Go ahead.
Your question about being just slamming on the gas, you know, just boom. Now, if a person such as myself who has a standard clutch, if I was just to try to go from first to third, my car would not really have, it wouldn't have it. So isn't that putting stressors on your automatic system? Because even when you accelerate, you can hear it automatically shifting, and it takes a little bit of time. So I don't think it's necessarily the best thing just to punch the gas. You know?
No, you're right. It's not a good thing. And it will give wear and tear to the vehicle. And, you know, you're making everything work a little harder than if you putt away from the intersection. So absolutely, I think the car is going to have some small bit of wear and tear. And if you're just a nut bar like like me, no, I mean, not me. I don't drive my car this way. But, you know, I've seen people who drive very aggressively, and that's not really good for your car. And it's not good for the environment or economy or anything like that. So I don't support people you know, yammering around all the time, only when I want to do it. So let's talk about Peter. Let's check in with Peter G. It was his question. How are you feeling about all of this? Any comments?
Well, you know, I think the only thing you were talking about, like cars of the 70s or earlier, and those cars were like significantly heavier, right? There's much more metal than there are in today's cars, too.
Yeah,
so.
Certainly.
So the brakes on those cars, like, they really wore out faster. Is that correct? Or they were of a different kind that could withstand all that weight?
Well, they were of inferior quality to the types of brakes we have now. I mean, brake technology has really grown, improved in the past few years. So we're using different components, and the new brakes that are manufactured now can take more heat and all that kind of stuff. So the technology has improved greatly over those cars from the 50s.
Oh, did you ever have to change a drum brake?
Oh, sure.
Oh, and have to turn the drum. Oh, that was such a pain. Such a pain.
Sure.
Sorry. Thinking about that.
Now, but let's discuss, if we can turn this a little bit down a different vein here. I want to know, as you drive, everybody here drives a car who's on the call with me. I want to know, are you of the opinion of using conservation of momentum, or do you not consider these things? And let me explain what I'm talking about. When I'm going to ask each one of you on the call today, when you drive, do you go zooming up behind up to the stoplight and stop assertively? Or when you see a stoplight in ahead of you, a block or two blocks, do you just stop your acceleration and coast along, or sort of meter out your speed, and so that you think you won't be able to stop, you know, hoping that the light will turn green by the time you get there so that you can just keep going? So let's start with Laughing Buddha. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about. And the thing is, I think people drive too damn fast. And I always do the economy of momentum. So if I see a light or I'm coming up on a stop sign, I am backing off on my accelerator and I'm taking it easy on my brakes because, well, you know, brakes are a wear part and I'm a cheapskate. And if I can get as much play out of them as I possibly can, that's what I'm going to do. So I'm conservative.
Good. I'm going to start a new club, and it's going to be called the Conservation of Momentumists. Okay, so you're a Conservation of Momentumist, right?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes, I am.
Eric, how about you?
Knowing that I have my co-pilot on the other side of the internet world, I wait till the last damn second and just go,
oh, no.
I'm horrible about it. And she looks at me and she says, "You're just like your father." who's actually even worse than me. As we've had many times where Brenda has been in the back of the seat when Dad is driving, and you could see her fingernail marks in the seat from her going, thinking that we were just going to ram right into the back end of a car.
Hmm. That's funny because my grandpa used to drive like that too. He would accelerate right all the way up to the stop sign. It was like, and accelerate and then brakes. Very odd. So, well, let's ask Brenda then. Brenda.
Well, as a busy mom, what I'm doing is texting, having a bite to eat. I've got so much going on that I'm not even paying attention to what's going on around me. It's crazy. Actually, no, I'm a very good driver. I use my sense of perspective and distance, and if I see the traffic is stopped or slowed down, then I just ease up on the gas.
Well, good for you.
But I am a busy mom, though.
Eric, do you now when? Okay, now let's ask the husband-wife question here.
All right.
When you guys go a driving, who typically drives?
Brenda.
Uh-huh. I'm a better driver than he is.
She tells me that every time we get in the car.
because I can pay attention to more than one thing at a time. And he'll sit there and he'll be like fussing with the radio and he's messing with his phone. And I can do those too, but I can drive at the same time. He can only
problem
do
is she doesn't know where she's going.
Oh,
she's
shut up.
Well, that's down for 20 years and you say, hey, let's go to there. And she'll drive you to the other end of town because, I totally forgot where I was going.
Weren't you trying to get to an IHOP once and you went to the wrong way or something?
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Precisely.
I think that may have happened just last week.
Hey.
Was this country home buffet? Where is this?
We've gotten to the point we have strict rules in the car that are unspoken. When Brenda is in the driver's seat, which is 95% of the time probably, I am forbidden to say anything about what direction she's going, about anything that is coming in her vicinity, about looking up. I'm not supposed to talk like that.
Faye, can I talk to just you for a second?
Oh, here it comes.
Yeah, for a second. Faye, okay, so I tend to get in and drive by instinct. So, like, if I normally go to a job.
Drive by instinct. Okay. That good old hominus erectus instinct of driving. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
What I'm trying to say is if, like, I normally go to a job from my home, in my mind, I'll think, okay, this is how I get there. So if I have to go to a job, not, let's say, I do it on a different day and I'm in a different part of the city, yes, it takes a little bit for my brain to catch up. But I've never had an accident. I'm an excellent driver.
So your car leaves before your brain does. Okay. Yes. All right.
Yes. But
And my problem, and I do have a problem on this, is I will turn to her, and without saying, my dear, I do believe that you are going the wrong direction, that our intended direction is this way. No, what I do is I'll turn and I'll go, where are you going?
Right.
It's not healthy, I know, but that's what usually gets it started. So,
but I'm a good driver.
She is.
Excellent driver.
Right. I'm sure you are. Great comment in the chat room by RT Cruiser asking if Brenda Boo drives parks by feel.
RT Cruiser has suddenly gone the top of my shit list tonight, so we should watch himself.
There, so, I have a license plate on the front of my truck that I used to have on my T-Bird, and it is it's mangled. It's a mangled front driver's license plate. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason why I keep it on there is more or less is a little burr in the side of Brenda, because we were in a driveway. It's a single car driveway. Her car was in front of my car. She had to walk by my car to get into her car. She still proceeded to turn on the engine, put it in reverse, and back ass end into my car. Oh, I didn't even realize you were there. So she was driving. She was driving on instinct.
It's an honest mistake anybody could have made.
Clearly, Laughing Buddha has had this happen before.
Well, let's okay.
Let's hear from that Peter G on the conservation of momentists.
Oh well, you know, I see the light up ahead, the red light up ahead, and I do, you know, gradually slow down. But I also, as I said, we're in a very hilly area, and so I'm always trying to use the hill, you know, so I'll just take my foot off the gas and my foot off the brake, Brenda, and just coast down the hill, down the slope, and have to downshift sometimes because you end up going too fast. But so that's what I do. I'm a very conservative driver, probably, and I get criticized sometimes while I'm in the car, you know, for that, so...
Faye, actually, as a tangent to this, Gavin in the chat room has said he's got a question as far as momentum is concerned. He says, is it bad to coast with the clutch in when going down a long hill?
Oh, well, I wouldn't really recommend that. I think you're better off to engage, leave the clutch out and engage the engine, and I think you're taking a bit of a risk in doing that, because couple of reasons, because I'd like to know more. I should get him on the call. But
you know, they're on Top Gear. One of the shows on Top Gear, they were trying to do fuel conservation, and they were doing this challenge to three vehicles. And one of the things that they were doing is one of them, they would go down the long hills, they would put it in neutral, or, you know, to try to conserve every last ounce of fuel
right.
that they had. I don't know, maybe that's what he's directing at.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. My only concern is, like, if you I wonder why he's doing it. I'd like to know why he's doing it. So
he says he's not hooked up for Skype, so okay. Perhaps he can chime in here. He says that he does use the brake when needed.
So this is what I would do, Gavin. I would say that that's a bad idea. And what you should do is you should put your car in a gear that will allow it to continue to coast down the hill, but that it's still in gear. And let the engine do braking for you. I can see if you're trying to conserve fuel and you're like maybe you're already in fifth gear, but it's you want to go faster than what fifth gear would allow, and you push in the clutch and you want to like accelerate up to 60 miles an hour down the hill or something. Then I could see a point for that, but I think you run the risk of. By pushing in the clutch and basically being in neutral down the hill, if you were to release the clutch, you might be in a wrong gear or a gear that was too low, and you may cause yourself to skid. You might create a compression skid. And so I think it's a little bit risky. Anybody have any other comments on this?
Well, RT Cruiser had a comment in the chat room. He said, you should have the clutch in as little as possible or you wear out the thrust race bearing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what he's talking about is it's the little bearing that when you push your foot down onto the clutch, all of the mechanisms and everything push on the thrust bearing, and which causes your clutch to disengage, so you're creating wear and tear on that bearing. Any other commenters on this coasting downhill with the clutch out?
No.
Yeah, I can see. I mean, if you put it in neutral and coasted, I'd prefer that. But I think you should just stick it in a gear and let the engine compression slow you down the hill. And if you don't want to go slow down the hill, put your foot on the gas and go faster. Okay, go ahead.
I was just say Peter has his mind on other things.
Yeah. He would like a little push on his thrust bearing.
Right.
Hi-oh.
Yes. All right, folks. So we're running up to the end of the show. I think I'm going to end it off a little sooner than normal here, since we've been having such long shows the last couple of episodes. So we'll just take care of a little bit of business that I want to talk about. I think this will be the last live show on Pride48.com for the month of January. The next show won't be until much later into February. So we won't be back here live on Pride 48, but rest assured that the Pink Wheel Nuts podcast will be put out on my stream on Pink Wheel Nuts, the Pink Wheel Nuts feed, and you can find the last few episodes we've recorded on my stream over the next month. And we are going to end out the show, so I'll give everyone a little opportunity to pimp out their stuff. And before we do that, I'll ask Laughing Buddha to let us say hello or goodbye once again to everybody who's listening live right now on Pride48.com and everybody who is in the chat room. Laughing Buddha, if you can tell us who's here.
Yes, we'd love to thank Brenda Boo, Gavin, George in Atlanta, Haunt Cub, Mark in Canada, Moose P, Mr. Mike 1972, RT Cruiser, That Peter G, and Toppy Smelly for joining us in the chat room tonight. Thanks for stopping by. We really do appreciate your participation.
And so let's go around the room and we'll just say goodbye to those who've joined us. Thanks, everyone, for joining me tonight on the call. Let's see, Eric, how can we find you?
Well, I am occasionally with Brenda on Hello Again. It's Brenda Boo. Every day I'm on the radio, so you can always go to KMRYradio.com and you can see me and email me and listen to me in the afternoon.
All right. Thank you very much. And thank you for doing all the extra work you've done for us tonight. We appreciate it.
Oh, I'm glad to.
And that, Peter G., how can we find you?
Well, thank you, Faye. I'm on the little show called Lotsl, Life on the Shit List, and you can find us on iTunes under LOTSL or call us at 949-41-LOTSL.
All right. And Brenda, which show are you going to pimp out tonight?
I think they've both been pimped, so I'll
You also have that Tanopa show.
Right? Yeah, that other one.
We've got part two coming up where Faye reveals it all.
Oh, dear me. And actually, I just, you know, actually, this, I'm going to hang on. Stop. Hang on. Hold the phone, everybody. As you know, if you go to pride48.com, the main screen on the main screen at pride48.com is the video that Adam Burns and I and all of the participants from Pride 48 Las Vegas 2012 were involved in. You can see that video on pride48.com. But if there are any podcasters or podcast listeners who would like a good quality copy of that video for their very own, please contact me at podcast@pinkwheelnuts.com and I can connect you to a link so that you can get your own high quality version of that movie if you would like to have it for your own archives. It's one that doesn't have, like the YouTubes, I saw it, that it made the lip sync come out a little bit, so this copy should be much, much better. So please email me at podcast@pinkwheelnuts.com and we'll get you a nice, good quality copy of that video. So as is the custom here on the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage, we always give the last word to the co-host emeritus, that is the Laughing Buddha. Sir, take it away.
Great. Thank you, everyone, for joining us here on the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage Live. You can find me at my brand new website at thescooterdiaries.net. I'm having a little technical difficulties fixing the feed in iTunes, but the RSS feed on thescooterdiaries.net is working just fine. So go over there. You can subscribe to a reader, or you can also download the show directly. So, Eric, take us out with our little music.
Pink Whale Nuts Garage.